So go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 1, and we are going to look at and talk about this new year. So Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to start off in verse 1, and if I can get everybody to stand as I read it, we'll stand before the Lord. I think standing before the Lord as you read the scriptures is a sign symbolizing that, hey, we accept and acknowledge your word. It's truth. It's we come in respect and honor to the Lord. I would have you bow to the ground, you know, lay down on the ground, but we can't do that. But we'll stand before the Lord, and we'll present ourselves before God and before his word. So look at verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. So Joshua is the only one who never had a mother. The son of Nun. No, that's his mother's name was Nun. And Moses, who was Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. In every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of great courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make, I will make your ways prosper, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through this camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord God is given you to possess. So, Father God, we do come together, and as we look to your word, Father, Lord, I like to think that when I think of Joshua stepping up and you're telling him, okay, now you're going to go. You're going to take my people into the promised land. Father, when I think of this new year, 2025, how, Father, I know you have greater things for us, Lord. In sense, you want us as well to enter into that promised land, into that covenant, into that your presence. And going into this new year, Father, we want your best, Lord, and we want to be our best for you. So bless us as we look to the word of God. And Lord, that I pray that I can encourage everybody very simple, and that our hearts would be prepared for communion. So bless us now, and we do give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. We pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you can take a seat. All right, so again, we're going into the new year. Now, let me ask you this, and I always have to bring this up because this is something that we do going into a new year. I spent New Year's Eve with my family, my grandkids, and everything. It was great. I really had a great time. But how many of you here made what they call New Year's resolutions? Okay? No one? Anybody? Or goals? Okay, we have some people raise their hand, and but some of the most popular, I'm going to give you some of the most popular physical popular resolutions, and then the spiritual that are made. And let's see if these are the some that you've done, because they are some of the ones that I've done. Like, for instance, one of the biggest ones in which I did was to lose weight. Okay, so that's how many of you? No, don't. I don't want to know. Because then I was like, ooh, you too, huh? I did. I said, okay, Lord, this year I'm going to lose weight. And my wife, Carmen, she made that resolution for me, as well as my daughter, and as well. And said, this year you're going to lose weight. So, okay. How about quit smoking? How many of you, don't raise your hand, because I don't want to know. Okay. That's between you and the Lord. Reduce debt. That's another one. And it's true. I don't want to go into the new year with this debt that I had in last year. How about settling down or get rich? Some people do make that. This was taken off a poll. Some people said, the new year, I'm going to get rich. Well, I am. I made that resolution that I'm going to get rich in faith. Okay, not rich in material gain, because obviously I can't handle that, or else I would be rich. But I'm going to be rich in faith, and all of us can make that resolution. Buy a house. Yeah, buy a house, okay? But the most popular spiritual resolutions that many Christians make, and I'm sure every one of us, and if you hear this and you made that, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, many Christians in the new year, they want to be more committed to going to church. Okay, more committed to fellowshipping, whether getting involved, involved in a Bible study like the men's, women's, or home fellowship. Many made the resolution is, I want to read the Bible more and having a devotion every day, right? Yeah. How about pray more? I want to pray more. Including with my spouse, praying with my spouse, with my children. How about praying for your husbands, and husbands praying for your wives? Or, I'm going to be the spiritual leader in my home, according to Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that's my foundation of my home. I have that scripture up, and I was even thinking getting that tattoo right here on my forehead. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I think that when you make these resolutions, I think they're good, because they make you reflect on your life and the changes that you can make. I don't use resolution, I say goals. Because I think when you say resolution, that's like, I'm going to do this, and you fail. But if I said, this is my goal, this is what I want to do, I'm going to say, it doesn't tell me how, for me, it doesn't say, okay, I have to do it at this time or this time, but that's my goal. That's what I want to do. And I have all of 2025 to do it in. But listen to these statistics of those who make these resolutions. Then we're going to go right into, I want to encourage you with Joshua. 40 to 45% of American adults make one or more resolution per year, while most of those fail within the first 6 months. I think one of the biggest ones is, and you probably can, some of you might even relate, is, I'm going to get fit this year. I'm going to join the gym. And you get a membership. And how many times do you use it, right? It's like timeshare. I'm going to get the timeshare, but how many times do you really use it? So a lot of people fell in that area. While those fell within the first 6 months, past the first week of the New Year's, 75% of resolutions are maintained. 2 weeks later, it starts to decrease. 71% continue. The average drops to 64% within 1 month, and then it drops to 46% after the first half of the year. People tend to break their resolutions because they set the bar too high and they expect more than they can possibly do. Now, resolutions aren't a bad thing. In fact, they are great when they are done with the right perspective. And that's true. Now, people say, well, I'm going to fast. Okay, when you say, I'm going to fast, this is one of my resolutions. I'm going to fast this year. Well, when you fast, what does that consist of? Not eating, okay? People say, I'm going to fast because I want to lose weight. Well, and then they said not eating, but it's you're mixing the Lord in there to say, okay, I'm going to fast food, not so I can get closer to the Lord, because so I can lose weight if I fast. But again, resolutions, the word, listen to what the word resolution means. It says, The word resolution is the act or the process of resolving, the act of analyzing a complex notion into a simpler one, the act of answering, solving, the act of determining. So again, it's a process of thinking and resolving on how you can make things more simpler and better in your life. That's what it's all about. I'm sure that everyone here wants to make your life simpler and better this year than last year, right? I don't think there's anybody here that said, man, I hope I go into this new year the same as last year. Maybe if it was great last year, I guess, hey, I hope it's even greater this year. But we do it to make our lives simpler and better. And I'm sure each one of us, every one of us would like to make that commitment of reading more, right? Praying more. Fellowshipping more, getting closer to the Lord, more involved, growing more in the Lord. Well,
reading the whole Bible.
There you go. Yeah. This will probably be the 10th time, right? But let me see. How many of you have read through the whole Bible? Okay. That's pretty good. How many of you read through the whole Bible more than once? How about more than 5 times? More than 10 times? More than 30 times? More than 80 times? Yeah, it's great. That is a great resolution. But here in Joshua chapter 1, I just want to encourage you this morning, because as we move forward into 2025, my prayer is for all of us is that we would enter this year with faith and expectations. When I come to church, I always expect that I'm going to get ministered to. I never come here thinking, I wonder if I'm going to get ministered to. I expect that to happen because of the Word of God. This year, my prayer is that when I go through this year, that I'm going to go in with faith and expectations. And here in Joshua chapter 1, it tells us that Moses had just died, right? And now Joshua was given the task of entering the promised land with God's people, the people of Israel. Now, they just came out of how many years of slavery? Over 400 years of slavery, right? They were slaves in Egypt. Over 3 million of God's people came out all at the same time. Now, how would you like to be a pastor of that congregation? Can you imagine? Moses was until his father-in-law sat him down and said, you can't do this on your own. You know, you can't minister to over 3 million people by yourself. So he got others to delegate. But they came out, and when they came out, this is what I want to encourage you, is that they came out with a whole new life and a whole new perspective. And the Lord tells Joshua, look at verse 9. Verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord tells Joshua when they came out of slavery, they're 40 years in the wilderness, and he's taking them to the promised land. Sure, they had a lot of normal problems, and probably they were normal. Some crazy problems with battles and the people complaining and murmuring and all these things. But God tells them, hey, I want you to be strong and I want you to be of good courage. Now, when I looked at those words up strong and good courage. The meaning in it, in the Hebrew, it means play the man. Become mighty. Prevail. Be recover, repair, retain, seize. Strengthen yourself. Be sure of yourself. Take hold of yourself. Behave yourself valiantly. Withstand. So the Lord tells them to be strong, but not in your flesh, not in yourself, but in the Lord, but in Him. And Paul mentions this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, when he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power, and in the power of His might. Why would Paul say that? Why does Paul tell us to be strengthened in the power of the Lord, in the power of His might? Because we're up against an enemy that's powerful, Satan. An enemy that doesn't sleep or slumber. And you cannot defeat Satan in your own power, in your own flesh. You can't. I proved that here in front of the church many years ago when I had somebody come up here. I need a volunteer. Come up here. Stand here. And I want you to beat up Satan. Just think Satan's right there, and he's coming up and says, hey, I'm going to kill your kids and your wife, and I'm going to take everything from you. I said, go ahead. You're going to let him do it? Do it. And this guy went to town. He was right in front of everybody, just punching away, kicking. And then I said, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. And I made him do it until he was so exhausted, he had to sit down in the front row. And I see, all this that you did, you didn't even touch him. You're exhausted. You're sitting there. Why? Because you tried to beat Satan in your flesh, in your own strength, in your own power, and you can't. It has to be done in the power. We have to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might, because He says that if we are, then we can quench every fiery dart that He throws at us. And so He couldn't do it. Because why? It's a spiritual battle. And we have to fight the spiritual battle with what? With prayer, with the Word of God, like Jesus. If He would have just said, okay, He was supposed to do this. He was supposed to say, okay, I will. The Bible says to obey the Lord. If He would have quoted Scripture, man, He would have hit Satan perfectly. Yeah, but you can't do it in the flesh. But He also tells them, and this is what I want to encourage you with. So He tells Joshua, hey, you're going to go into the promised land. I want you to be strong, and I want you to be of good courage. I want you to be strong in the Lord, in me, in the power of my might, not his own flesh, his own might. But He also tells them, as they go into this whole new year of their lives, He says, you got to follow three commandments. And this is where I think the Lord's telling us, as we go into this new year, there's three things that we should do, that you should do going into this new year. The first command that God gives Joshua, He tells him, you have to obey God. Look at verse 7. He tells us, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. First commandment is obey God. Okay? Second commandment is read God's word. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Second command is read God's word. Third command is follow after Him. Look at verse 9. He goes, have I not commanded you? Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare your provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is given you to possess. So he's given Joshua three commands. They came from the Lord himself. God spoke to Joshua. He gave him, they came from the Lord. And I pray that we also can follow after these three commandments as we go into this new year. And I want to start in the beginning of this new year, 2025, as we pray that 2025 will be the year of our Lord and the year of his return. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? Are you excited? Is there anybody here that first wants to do something before the Lord comes back? Okay, not this year. Okay, good. I know a few years back, I had a few people say, well, I don't want him to come back until I do this. Okay, but the commands are, okay, first command, obey God. You're going into the new year. He says, obey God. This should be one of your resolutions. This should be a goal for this year, and it's called obedience. This year, 2025, pray for obedience, that you will be obedient to the Lord. And I'm going to give you an example here. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, write it down. Samuel told King Saul, Samuel said to King Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, I'm going to just give you a quick, you know, story about this. Saul was actually God's chosen leader. He was God's chosen one to lead the scattered nation of Israel. Remember when Israel complained to the Lord, said, hey, we want to be like the other nations. We want a king to rule over us. And all this time, God was ruling over in the prophets. Perfect. You can't get it any perfect than that. And they said, well, no, we don't want God ruling over us. We don't want the prophet. We want a king. And so God did. He says, okay, Samuel, go ahead and give him a king and just share the consequences of what's going to happen. They said, we accept the consequences, not only on us, but on our children and everything. And so Saul, he started well, okay? He started well when he became king. He had many victories under his belt, but his downfall was when he committed a unauthorized sacrifice, a sacrificial offering to the Lord. And you can read that, and it's found in 1 Samuel 13, chapter 13. You see, when Saul went up against the Amalekites, the Lord told King Saul to wipe them all out. Okay, wipe out the men, the women, the children, even wipe out their livestock. Don't take anything from them. Just make sure everybody's dead. But Saul fell to eliminate their king. He kept the king alive, King Agag, and he kept the best of their livestock as commanded by God. He told him to kill it, and you can read that in 1 Samuel 15. So Saul actually disregarded a direct order from God himself, okay? He decided to spare the life of the king of the Amalekites along with some of the choice livestock, and he tried to cover up his transgression by lying to Samuel. But in reality, he was really lying to God. Not to Samuel, to God. 1 Samuel 15. And this disobedience was the last straw for the Lord, because God withdrew his hand. He withdrew his spirit from Saul's life. 1 Samuel chapter 16, you can read it. And when he was confronted by the prophet Samuel went to him. He didn't even confess to him on what he did. It wasn't until Samuel pronounced the judgment from the Lord on Saul. It was God's word that brought him to his knees and humbled him. And he immediately confessed what he did. Now listen, I'm going to read 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. Listen to what it says. And then Saul said to Samuel, when Samuel came to him, and when he was disobedient, he says, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, which he lied. But the people, now he's, I know, you know when I know somebody's guilty? Is when they take the focus off themselves and they put it on somebody else. When you confront them. Hey, you know what? This is, oh no, blah, 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 blah. That's when you know they're guilty. Well, listen to what Saul said. He said, but it was the people who took the plunder, the sheep and the oxen. And the reason why is they took the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. We took them so that we can sacrifice them to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And it's interesting that he didn't say that we can sacrifice to the Lord my God. He said Samuel. So we can sacrifice them to the Lord your God. There you go. I just taught, so I'm done, I can go now. I just taught him something. And I love it when someone says that. And then 1 Samuel 15:22, listen to what Samuel said, okay? So Samuel said, after he said this, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Okay, you think it'd be a good thing. All right, you took the best to sacrifice to the Lord? Yes, but not. He says, does God delight in offerings and sacrifices more than obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the ram. Samuel declared the very purpose of God's word here. It's called obedience. This is one thing above all that you do for the Lord. Think about all that you do for the Lord. What pleases God the most, and what makes a person acceptable to God is obedience, true devotion to the Lord. Because God wants a heart of devotion, a heart that is set upon obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And we know sacrifice is important, guys, but it is only acceptable when it's brought to the Lord with a heart of devotion and obedience. And if you want proof on that, then read the first few chapters of Genesis when Cain brought his sacrifice to the Lord. God didn't accept it. Because why? Of the heart, his heart and his attitude when he brought his sacrifice. So what happened to Saul? What happened to him? It shows us that to obey is better than the most choice gift of sacrifice that you can give to the Lord. You know how the fat of the sacrifice, that when they sacrificed to the Lord, that was the portion of the meat that belonged to God. He said, you boil it, you burn it so that the aroma could ascend up towards heaven, and that would symbolize that the sacrifice was acceptable to God. And that's the fat. I like fat in the meat. I don't know about you guys, but I like the fat. Probably why I'm fat. I don't know. But that portion belongs to God, okay? It was considered the most choice gift of the sacrifice of all. But even the most choice gift was not a substitute for obedience. In other words, you can go and God can tell you, hey, don't take that. But you take it and say, oh, I took it, Lord, but I'm going to give you 10% of it, or I'm going to give you some of it, or I took it so that I can share it with somebody else. The greatest sacrifice that was ever given was when the Lord gave his only begotten Son for us. That's the greatest sacrifice. But the supreme gift that could be given to God, that you can give God, is your obedience to him. I mean, this was the message of God to Saul, and it's the message I believe that God is still proclaiming to all of us and everybody who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. From generation to generation, it's going to continue. God requires obedience. James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And then the second command from the Lord, he says, read his word. It's to read the word. Now let's see who's sharp, which I know you guys can know this one. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. What does it say? Without looking. Oh, come on, guys. Oh, the first word is so. Okay, second, then. And you're going to get it here, faith. What? So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Okay? The second commandment that the Lord told Joshua and the people to do is read the word. Okay, you got to read the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But there are three steps that involve faith. The first step of hearing, okay, that's the first step in faith, is a step of hearing. You must be willing to listen to the message of Christ. You must be willing to listen to the word of God, no matter who gives it and who's up here. The word, you know that the word hearing, it's actually an act of doing or practicing what you hear from the Lord. That's what James is talking about here. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You're actually practicing what you hear from the Lord. The second step is the step of mental acceptance. And that means you got to agree that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what you're hearing is truth. But listen, agreeing is not just enough, okay? Because just agreeing doesn't lead to action in many. And what I mean by that, there's many people know that something is true, okay? But they don't change their behavior to match their knowledge of the truth. They don't change. I'm always praying for knowledge from the Lord. But I always ask, Lord, give me the wisdom to apply the knowledge. You need wisdom to apply it. You just don't want knowledge, okay, because then it just sets up in here. When you pray for wisdom and how to apply that knowledge, it's not only up in here, but it's in here. Can you see that? It's in here. So just agreeing with it doesn't lead to action. Many people know that something is true, but they don't change their behavior to match the knowledge. And I'm going to use myself as an example, but it doesn't go any further than this. Okay? I know that eating too much can harm my body. Okay? I know that. You probably know it too. But I continue to eat too much. Yeah, Carmen must not be here. Oh, she is. She's in the back there with the kids. Okay. She just raised her hand and she goes, yeah. She's going to give me thumbs up. I know I eat too much. So many can agree, like me, agree to the truth and know the truth, but they don't do anything about it. I don't change. I still eat and I eat. But again, this goal, this resolution of losing weight, I'm going to work on that. So they still don't have the faith, at least the kind of faith that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. God blesses the one who reads the word of God, the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says. Why? For the time is near. Not just hearing it, but obeying it. Psalms chapter 9, and why should you obey it? Well, Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 through 11 says this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, and more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than the honey in the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned, and by keeping them there is great reward. That's a beautiful, powerful description of God's word. And we know that Timothy said, hey, study to show yourself approved unto the Lord. Study. For a workman is not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of his of being called a Christian, not ashamed of standing up for righteousness. So when you read Psalms 19, that leads us right to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you obey it, if you hear it, if you read it, where it says, therefore, if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creation. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is how you can tell when someone's obedient to the Lord. You're not the same no more. Anybody the same? Are you the same? Be honest. I'm not the same no more. I mean, I still struggle. We still struggle. And Satan does tempt us, and he tempts us with those things that he knows you're able to fall into. He ain't going to tempt you with things that aren't going to that you can't handle. He's going to tempt you with those things that he knows you're capable of falling, of going after. And then the third step, he says, follow after him. Follow after the Lord. It's what he told Joshua. Listen to what Luke chapter 18, what Jesus said. And you guys know the story here of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And it says that this rich young ruler asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, I have done all these things, and I have kept them from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, you might not know this, guys, but many people think that eternal life is free, that it costs nothing. Well, that's not true. The price was paid for you through Jesus when he went to the cross. Okay? That was paid. The price was paid for you. He became the price. But eternal life does cost. And that price is, it costs a believer everything that he is and everything that he has. Well, maybe, this verse, I'm sure there's a verse that is so very demanding that Jesus, probably ever preached. But the person who seeks eternal life has to acknowledge Jesus as God, Jesus as Lord and Savior. This rich young ruler here in these verses, he called Jesus good master, good teacher. You know, the word good there was a word that was used to describe God only. When they said good, they were describing God. It was never used in reference to a man. So this ruler was calling Jesus good, but in the sense that God would be called good. And he saw something in Jesus like he saw in God. And he esteemed Jesus highly by saying that. Probably believed in him, or he was coming close to believing Jesus as Lord and Savior, as his Messiah. But listen to what Jesus did. When the man called him good, again, the word good is used only to addressing God, Jesus asked him, why do you call me good? God alone is good. So, are you saying I'm God? Jesus was saying, if I'm just an ordinary man, a good teacher, then I'm not good to do or to have the words of eternal life. But if I'm God, then you can truly call me good, and I do have words of eternal life. So the point is that Jesus told this man how to receive eternal life. Jesus was claiming to be God, the one who could give eternal life to a person. How many of you here said the sinner's prayer to accept Jesus and to receive eternal life? How many of you didn't? Or you just did it on your own self? I did it. So I changed my life. I did this. So I did it to receive eternal life. Well, when you stand before God, that ain't going to hold any water. That's why I really believe the Lord said, come just like you are. He said, Jesus, died when we were yet still, what? Sinners. Not when we were perfect or when we got our life in order. He says, I want you just how you are, the worst that you can be, because I want to change you. So when you stand before God, God can, you can't say, hey, I did this, I did this. You can't be an I person. Because if you do, God's going to say, okay, that a boy award, that's all you get. God did it all. He did it all. So this young man decided that Jesus, what happened was he decided that Jesus was asking too much from him, everything that he had. And because of that, he went away sad because he had great wealth. That's what it talks about in Luke, that chapter, verse 22. Rather than obeying Jesus' instructions, he turned his back on the Lord. He walked away. He, you know, it was the love of his money. That was his downfall. That's what kept him from following after Jesus. The man's choice also saddened Jesus as well, because Jesus did love him. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, listen. Again, this third commandment that God gave Joshua, follow me. Okay, follow me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. What do you have to do? Okay. And take up his cross. What do you do? And what? Follow me. Okay. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in glory, in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So going into the new year, the Lord told Joshua that they needed to be strong and courageous. And I'm telling you this, that going into this new year, guys, like Paul said, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And obey his three commandments. Obey obedience. Obey God. Read the word of God. And follow after him. And if you just be strong and courageous to the Lord, look at Joshua the verse 3, 1 verse 3. Look at it. I'm going to read it again. He says, if you're just strong and you're courageous in the Lord, he says, every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that something great? Isn't that a great blessing for being obedient to the Lord? I love the fact that he says, no one will be able to come against you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will bless you, and I will expand your territory. I love the prayer of Jabez. Anybody know what the prayer of Jabez is? Anybody?
Expand my territory.
Yeah. That, Lord, I can bless you and expand my territory. I can't remember the whole thing. I was hoping somebody else did, but somebody else would. But that's a blessing of obedience. The Lord told Joshua, hey, you know what? That little portion of Israel that you guys see, that's not the promised land. That's not just the promised land. The promised land goes even further than that, all the way down to Egypt, all the way around. There's a lot of land. And what I love about what's going on over there is that Israel is moving forward. They're moving forward. They're claiming some of that promised land that God promised. The Lord entrusted Joshua as his representative, just like Moses, to the people. And the Lord, he's the one that opened the door to the land of Canaan. Joshua was just like kind of like a trustee of the Lord, of the land that the Lord was going to give his people. In the same way, Jesus goes before us. He's our representative, right? He's our advocate. He's our substitution. He's our righteousness. Jesus is the advocate to the Father for us, to the promised land, guys, which is not only eternal life, but the promised land is what? Heaven. How many of you are excited that heaven is coming? Heaven is not that far away. Yeah. Well, I'm talking the heaven, brother. The heaven. I'm talking about the land of no mores. No more pain. No more suffering. No more tears. No more. No more. That word ain't going to be up there no more. Everything's going to be yes and amen. But the promised land in heaven, you know what? When I think of the promised land down here that God promised Joshua, Joshua only took him as far as the promised land here on this earth. But Jesus, he's going to take us the rest of the way because Jesus goes before us. And what we have in God, guys, it comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. So this new year, what is going to be your resolution here? What are you going to do? What's the first one? Obey. Obey God. What's the second one? Read the Word of God. What's the third one? Follow Him. Those are the three perfect goals, perfect resolution for you to coming into this new year. Amen? Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we do hear those words of be strong and be courageous. But we don't want to be that way in ourselves, Lord. We want to be strengthened in the power and of your might, Father. Because we want to move forward in the promised land that you have given us down here. We want to move forward and we want to be strong and courageous, and we want to obey you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that would be one of the top resolutions, is to be obedient to the Lord. And reading your word, Father, give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Give us a hunger and thirst for your word. And you said that if we hunger and thirst for it, we would be satisfied. Let the word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Father, let the word of God be sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing between the soul and the spirit, between the flesh and the spirit, between the things of God and the things of this world. And we pray, Father, also that we would have the courage, that we would pick up our cross and we will follow you. It's like, I think of Peter when he said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere, even unto death. May we say, Lord, we'll follow you anywhere, even to live for you. It's easy to die for the Lord. The challenge is living for the Lord. May we live for you. And Father, may we be blessed in this new year, going in with a new life, with a new perspective, with a whole new devotion to you, Lord, and do a mighty work right before our very eyes. And we thank you, Father, and we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.